One thing I noticed that while offering obeisances to the deities, most devotees, they just offer respect to the guru, you know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. That's all right. But we should also offer respect to the respective deity we are offering obeisance to. If you offer respect to Gaur Nithai, we should say, no? Namo Mahava Danyaya, no? Like that, or Ajanu Lambita Bhujo Kanakava, that. And to Krishna, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. It's a personal relationship. But out of just habit, we just offer only to Prabhupada. Okay, that's fine, but we should also offer prayers or obeisances to Gauranga Nityananda and Radha Krishna. What do you think? Is it a good? Okay. Thank you for agreeing. Yeah, I noticed many details. I'm a detailed person.
It's all in
the details. Yes. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjanaya. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjanaya. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
No need.
Gora Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
I need to move the Vyasasan a little bit so I can turn my face and see the beautiful form of Radha Kalachandji.
Yeah.
I was trying, but it was a little difficult. Oh, now so much nicer.
Jai.
I don't know. I think I'm getting a little attached to Radha Kalachandji. And I find myself a few times during the day thinking on the beautiful form of Radha Kalachandji. Can't help it. He's so powerful and beautiful. And you can feel his presence very strongly. I mean, he's there. He's Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandan. He's not a statue. He's the Lord. He's there, watching over us, seeing in our heart what we are thinking, what we are feeling. Definitely. Who said? Ah, Yai. Haribo. Haribo. Very good. Prabhupada told him, he stopped him. He was chanting Ramo, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo. Prabhupada stopped Vishnu Janaswami, said, "Who is this Ramo? You're spoiling the movement by chanting this Ramo. It's Rama." You hear Prabhupada singing Mahamantra? Although he was Bengali, he was always chanting Rama, 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 but not Ramo. Remember that. Thank you. All right, let's chant the verse. Today's verse is Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 46, Uddhava visit Vrindavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Mahabhagavan Preshtam Bhaktamekam Tidam Kwachit Bhaktam Ekam Tidam Kwachit Grihitva panina panim prapannarti haro hari tamma bhagavan preshtam bhaktam ekantinam kvachin grihitva panina panim prapannarti haro hari.
prishta tam ekantinam kvachit ritva paninam panim tirti haro hare ampadam prishta tapakirantinam kvachit tapavitapani prapanarti haro hari.
Ladies,
am bhagavam prishta tamekantinam kvachit
Tam to him Aha spoke Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Preshtam to his most dear Bhaktam devotee Ekantinam exclusive Kvachit on one occasion Grihitva taking Panina, with his hand. Panim, Uddhava's hand. Prapanna, of those who surrender. Arti, the distress. Hara, who takes away. Hari, Lord Hari. The Supreme Lord Hari, who relieves the distress of all who surrender to him, once took the hand of his fully devoted, dearmost friend, Uddhava, and addressed him as follows.
Gacchadhava brajam saumya pitror nao pritim avaha gopinam mad biyogadim Matsandeshair vimochaya.
Lord Krishna said, "Dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraja and give pleasure to our parents, and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message." Text 4.
Iti man manaska mat prana mad arte tyakta daihika. Mam eva dayitam preshtam atmanam manasagataha yetyakta loka dharmascha mad arte tam bi harmyaham.
The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are very devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life, as well as all religious duties necessary for such happiness in the next life. I alone am their dearmost beloved, and indeed their very self. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances.
Here the Lord explains why he wants to send a special message to the gopis. According to the Vaishnava Acharyas, the word daihika, related to the body, refers to husbands, children, homes, and so on. The gopis loved Krishna so intensely that they could think of nothing else. Since Sri Krishna maintains ordinary devotees engaged in sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, he will certainly maintain the gopis, his most exalted devotees. Is it loud enough? Sure. Okay. Huh? A little louder, I think, is better. Was it okay? But
some people have some severe.
I'm not gonna shout. Okay, I'm not a shouting person. I like to speak softly, generally speaking, unless I need to chastise somebody, which is not the case. Thank you. Oh, much better. Hare Krishna. Haribo. Okay. So here, Lord Krishna holding Uddhava's hand in a very friendly way, he's asking him, please go to Vrindavan, give my message to the gopis, and relieve the distress of our parents. Why is telling him our parents? Uddhava wasn't the son of Nanda and Yashoda, but he's telling him our parents. Because they were very much close to each other. They were cousin brothers. So it's like brothers. So in that intimate way, he was telling him, you are also part of the family. It's the family business to take care of our family. And now they are in distress because of their separation from me. So please go and deliver this message to them. Give them some relief. They are suffering because of my separation. And you are the best person to be the messenger because you are very dear to me. Actually, that was Krishna's special favor on Uddhava to send him to Vrindavan so he can learn directly the highest love of the Brajavasis, the spontaneous loving attraction, the intense feeling for Krishna. Nowhere else you can find. Because more or less, Krishna loved his queens and they loved him too, but was more between the social context that this is our husband. So we respectful love. Wife should respect the husband. So, but Krishna's love for the gopis was in a more spontaneous attraction. So, he's telling him, this gopis always, their mind always absorbed in me. Always, all the time. Not a single moment they are not absorbed in Krishna while doing all the different duties. And here it is said, because their very life are devoted to me, Krishna said. So it's naturally their minds always absorbed in me. And that's Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita for all of us. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mam evaishya satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, offer your respectful obeisance to me, and in this way you will become dear to me and come back to me without doubt. I'm telling you this because you are my dear friend. So this is the most confidential part of Bhagavad Gita, to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's the goal of human life, to become a lover of God. Unless we develop our attraction and love for the Lord, how can we give up the mundane attraction to sense gratification? Not possible. So that's the way to be relieved from the distress of birth and death and old age disease by surrendering to Krishna. Once In Spain, one devotee asked me, it seems that Krishna doesn't give much options. Either you surrender to him, you serve him, or you suffer in the material world. There is no other option. I told him, no, there is a third option. He said, really? What is that? Okay, you can go to the Brahma Jyoti. You are free from birth and death, but you are not serving Krishna. But I don't advise you to do that because there is no ananda there, only existence. It's free from the misery of birth, death, old age, disease, but there is no activity. The soul's nature is to be active in the loving service of the Lord. That's the original nature of every living entity. So this Brahman, impersonal liberation, is not desired by devotees. Even if they are offered, even if they prefer to stay suffering in the material world, trying to develop their love for Krishna, than just immediately get free and go there and doing no service to Krishna, just exist eternally, floating in the Brahman, thinking, not thinking, willing, not willing, desiring, not desiring. It's all negation. There is no positive activity. Just eternal existence. So we don't want moksha. We want bhakti. That's the real moksha for devotees. To be free from material desires and to develop desires to love and serve Krishna. The desire to become pure devotees, that should be our desire. So Krishna is praising the gopis' love for him because he's saying, for the sake of me, they abandoned everything. Related to their body. What is related to the body? Home, children, husbands, family members. They gave up all this attachment just for my sake. They don't care for this anymore. Not only that, which are all these things are necessary for happiness in this life, but also they gave up the religious duty necessary for happiness in the next life. Meaning, they went above the ordinary dharma. Ordinary dharma, which should be followed by everyone, women should be chaste to their husbands. Husbands should be chaste to their wives. Should be faithful to each other. That's dharma. But the gopis went above dharma. They went to Sanatana dharma. Eternal duty, occupation of the soul is to love and serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. So when Krishna played the flute, called the gopis to dance with him, they will immediately run, giving up everything. They will be so much anxious to meet Krishna that they will put the dress upside down. They will put kajal in one eye, forget the other. And they took the risk to be criticized in society because, you know, Vedic society, for a woman to give up her home to go dance with some other man who's not her husband, that's very sinful. That's very shameful. They took all this risk because they love Krishna so much. So they completely risked everything for Krishna's sake. So Krishna, being so loving and grateful to the gopis, he can't forget them. Even when he was in Dwarka, living with his beautiful wives, at night, while sleeping, he will cry out, remembering the names of the different of the gopis. He will chant their names while sleeping. Wetting the pillow with his tears of love. So, I mean, ordinarily speaking, it's very difficult for any living entity to give up attachment to family, relatives, home, security. It's very difficult to give up those things. Mm-hmm. They are very dear to everyone, especially the body is very dear. The most dear thing to anyone is the body. Why? Because we are living in the body. Why is the body so dear? Because the soul is inside the body. And why the soul is so dear? Because the soul is part of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. So in that light, we shall see how all attachment actually should be directed to Krishna, because Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. So even our body, sometimes people ask, why you have this mark in your forehead? At the airports, sometimes they ask me, what is the meaning? I tell them, that means the body is a temple of the Lord. And that's why we don't introduce in the body nothing harmful. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't eat meat. Why? Because that's harmful to the body. And the body is not ours, it's Lord, the Lord's temple. The Lord is residing in the heart. So that's why we take care of the body, not thinking that we are the body, which is completely a hankar, false ego. Rather, we think that the body is the temple of the Lord. And as a temple, it should be kept clean from the inside and the outside. The outside by taking showers every day, changing garments every day. And the inside by always chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this chanting of the holy name of Krishna is most glorious. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya said, all glories to the Sankirtan movement, to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, which cleans the heart from all dirty things. Sometimes devotees ask, well, why sometimes I feel that I have more desires than before I became devotees? Why is that? While chant, I notice I have much more desires. That's because if you enter a room to clean it, which hasn't been cleaned for 10 years, you see so much dust. And when you start cleaning, all the dust starts to fly in the air, and you see like more dust than before. It doesn't mean that there's more dust than before. It's just you start noticing how much dust is there. Before you didn't notice. So don't panic, don't despair. Just gradually keep cleaning. Day by day, every day, some cleaning should be done. And one day the room will be completely clean. The same way one day the heart will be completely clean and pure. Then Krishna is more than willing to manifest fully himself as Bhagavan, not just as Paramatma, but as Bhagavan in the heart. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shamasundara machintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So, when we have this balm of love anointed on our eyes, then we can see Shyam Sundar, Krishna, in our heart. Achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. Guna Swarupam. It's beautiful form and qualities. Everything will be revealed in due time by the holy name. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj just said, don't try to meditate prematurely, artificially on Radha Krishna Lila. Rather, chant the holy name of Krishna offenselessly, without offenses. And in due time, the holy name will reveal everything, Krishna's beautiful form, qualities, and pastimes. In due time, be patient, be enthusiastic, endeavor with confidence. Yes, it can be done. By Krishna's mercy and the spiritual master's mercy, it is possible. We shall keep endeavoring every day, trying to become more pure in our thoughts, in our heart, and be honest in our dealings with others. That's very important. At the beginning of the movement, I remember sometimes the devotee go to supermarket and steal some yogurts from there. Oh, we are going to offer to Krishna. Krishna is used to steal yogurt. We can also steal yogurt. No. Prabhupada chastised them. No. You can't do that. Actually, Krishna can't steal anything because everything belongs to him. Isn't? But we can steal anything and everything, even for Krishna, because we have to follow, you know, to give good example to people. To be honest in our dealings. Respect whatever everybody has, Krishna has given. So we respect. Once a thief entered the house of the devotee to steal. And the devotee was living in Vrindavan. He was one of the associates of the Sri Goswami. He didn't have much belonging, but still, whatever was there, this thief put everything in a big bag and was trying to run away through the window. But he could get out, but the bag got stuck in the window. So he was trying to pull it, and suddenly he felt somebody from inside the house helping him pushing the bag out. So he became bewildered. He entered the other window to see who was that. And he asked him, I'm stealing from you. Why are you helping me? That surprised me very much. And the devotee said, well, maybe you need them more than me. If you need it, take it, no problem. What about you? You also may need. Oh, if I need something, Krishna will send. Don't worry. And he said, please tell me what is your name? And said, my name is the Narayan Bhatta Goswami, one of the associates of the Sri Goswamis. So he fell at his feet. He said, I heard about you. You're very saintly devotee. Please forgive my offense and accept me as your disciple. He surrendered to him. He conquered his heart with his loving dealing. So we shall always remember how to deal with others in a very nice, loving way. Prabhupada said appreciation amongst devotees create a Vaikuntha atmosphere in the temple. Even if we sometimes have to correct something, we should do it with the spirit of love and service to others. So, why the gopis are so much glorified, even by Krishna himself? Because they surrender everything to Krishna. Their very life were dedicated to Krishna. And there were varieties of gopis. There are the Nitya Siddha gopis, eternally liberated gopis. But there are also gopis who were in the previous life were Municharis. Municharis means sages. They were living in Dandakaranya forest. And they met Lord Ramchandra. And they prayed to him to accept them as their wives. And he said, I bless you that you will become the lovers of Krishna next life. They were worshipping Lord Gopal. They wanted to develop this Braja Prem, Gopi Prem. And they were pure in heart, so the Lord blessed them. May your desire be fulfilled. So when they went to dance with Krishna, their body wasn't material anymore. It was completely spiritual. Completely transformed by the intensity of love and separation. Their material body disappeared and only the spiritual body was there. Doesn't mean they died. No, they didn't die. That would be very inauspicious for Krishna starting his Ras Leela that some of the gopis will die. So they didn't die. They just transformed their body completely spiritual. There was no more material body. Maybe it was before some tinge of materiality in their bodies, before. But at certain point, when they felt very acutely Krishna's loving separation, the materiality, any tinge of materiality in their body became burned away, and their body became completely spiritual. Otherwise, they will not be fit to associate with Krishna. There is a story in the Gopal Tapani Upanishads that once the great sage Durvasa Muni went to Vrindavan for a visit. That's not the same Durvasa Muni who became angry at Ambarish Maharaj. This is a different Durvasa. And the gopis wanted to offer him some prasad. So when we chant Yasya Prasad, we say Yasya Prasad. This is Bengali. Sanskrit is Prasad. Yasya Prasad, Bhagavat Prasad is an S. Bengali is Prasad. Sanskrit is Prasad. So the samsara, no? The Gurvastaka prayer is in Sanskrit, not Bengali. Anyway, so they cooked. Radharani cooked and the gopis assisted her in the cooking. So they were looking for boats because the sage was on the other side of the Yamuna. There were no boats available. Krishna was sitting at the shore of Yamuna, so they approached him. Krishna, please help us. We want to serve this great sage, the prasad, but there is no boat. What can we do? Krishna smiled. Krishna said, that's very easy. Just say to the Yamuna River, by the power of Krishna's austerities as an eternal brahmachari, please open your waters. And the gopis laughed and clapped. You, brahmachari, how that can be possible? You have so many good friends here. And in Dwarka, you will have so many wives. How can you be a brahmachari? Krishna laughed. Oh, you don't believe me? Try and see what will happen. And they said that. Immediately, the water of the Yamuna opened up. So, oh, yes, you spoke the truth, Krishna. Please forgive us. So they passed to the Yamuna and went and served the Durvas Muni, nice feast, prasad feast. And he ate to his full satisfaction. So the gopis asked him to come here. We have to say the password. Krishna is an eternal brahmachari. What we should say to go back? And Durvas Muni said, just tell by the power of the austerities of Durvas Muni, who didn't eat today, please open your water. So the gopis became amazed. How you didn't eat? We saw you eating a nice big feast. And how is that Krishna's eternal brahmachari? Please explain that to us. So the sage said, well, Krishna is not a materialistic enjoyer. He doesn't sport with any women made of flesh and blood, with a material body. You gopis have no material bodies. Your body is fully spiritual. Only due to yoga maya you think your body is material. And the queens of Krishna and Dwarka are expansions of you. They are as spiritual as you too. I am also not materialistic enjoyer. So in that sense, Krishna is eternal brahmachari because he doesn't have any connection with women with material bodies. I'm also not materialistic enjoyer, he said. Although you saw me eating, which is true, but I also was watching myself eating. I know I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. So I was watching my body eating. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a self-realized soul, although eating, sleeping, waking up, standing, going to the bathroom, knows that it's not doing anything. All is carried by the material energy. But the person doesn't identify with the body. That means self-realized. So, in that spirit, we should try to understand Krishna's pastimes. Because sometimes people get bewildered by Krishna's pastimes. Even great professors, devotees went to preach one university, and they came back, they told Prabhupada, this professor told us that Krishna is immoral because he was dancing with the wives of others at the midnight. And Prabhupada tell this professor that Krishna is God. He created all the women in the universe. All women belongs to him. If he has a woman, he's stealing a woman from Krishna. He's immoral, not Krishna. But Krishna is allowing, okay, you can have one wife. Okay, it's allowed. No more. So that's the spirit to understand Krishna. It's not an easy subject. It's very difficult. Some years ago in Poland, one nun, she sued the movement because we worship a god who has many wives and that's immoral. So the devotee defender was a lawyer, so he was defending Krishna at court. So the jug was there, the room was full with people, and devotees and outside people. So the lawyer devotee asked the nun, can you please repeat the vows that you made when you become nun? She didn't want to do it. So he asked the jug, can I read them? Okay, you read them. So he was reading. The vows are, one of them is, we accept Jesus Christ as our husband. So the lawyer devotee asked, who has more wives, Jesus Christ or Krishna? And the judge said, case dismissed. It's a true story. It happened in Poland some years ago. So even for religious people, pious people, it's difficult for them to understand Krishna. It's not an easy thing. They have their stereotyped idea how God should be. Some old man sitting on a throne and sending people to hell if they misbehave or something. He has nothing else to do. They have no idea. He's a young boy, he likes to play the flute and take care of the cows, dance with the gopis, have fun, have a good time. Once a British soldier who prayed to God because he was in the World War II and his plane was attacked, he was, you know, going to die. But he prayed to God, if I survive this death, I promise I will surrender my life to you. I will look for you. So although his plane crashed, he didn't die. He was saved. So he went to a priest and asked him for advice. Well, I promised, make this promise. What shall I do? The priest said, if you want to find God, go to India. If you want to know more personally God. So he went to India and visited a few temples of demigods and demigoddesses. But when he entered Krishna's temple, he told the pujari, this definitely must be God. Pujari said, oh, wonderful, very nice. How you came to that conclusion? He said, well, because I entered all other temples and I saw, you know, Shiva standing on the head of one demon, Durga killing some other demons. But here I see Krishna just playing the flute and dancing. He must be God because he has nothing else to do. Just enjoy. He must be God. He said, that's very intelligent conclusion. He became devotee, actually. He surrendered to Krishna. Took initiation and everything. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Ravi Prabhu. Is it on the mic? Yeah, yeah, I understand your question. No. They didn't become Krishna's wives in Dwarka. They became gopis. Because they were worshipping Gopal. You know? Their object of worship was Gopal. And you know this how this Gopal manifested? This is a mystery. Very little known secret. And that is a pastime that when Sita Ramchandra were in the forest, one night was raining, so they entered a cave to protect themselves from the rain. And early in the morning when the sun rises, they came out, and Lord Ramchandra, he saw cows and coward men, so he started to smile, and happily. So Sita asked him, why you're so happy? He said, oh, by seeing the cows, I remember that my next life I will be a coward boy. I will be Gopal. She said, oh, I will very much would like to see that form of you as Gopal. So Lord Ram Chandra, with his arrows, he made a deity of Gopal. Actually, the name of the deity was Gopinath. Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. So after he made this deity with arrows, he carved this deity just by shooting arrows, and Sita Devi, she took one arrow and touched the deity, and one drop of blood came out of the body of the deity, meaning the deity was alive. That was the installation ceremony. So she was worshipping this deity for a long time. And when they moved to another forest, the deity remained there, and those sages, they start to worship this Gopal deity, this Gopinath deity. And because he's Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, they start to feel attraction to become gopis themselves. They prayed for that purpose. So when they have darshan of Lord Ramchandra, they prayed to him to become gopis. And he gave the blessing that you may desire, you will be fulfilled. Krishna is more liberal than Ramchandra. It's no different. Ram is also expansion of Krishna. Ramadi murtishu kalanyamena tishtan. But Krishna, to give perfect example of perfect human being to society, he accepted only one wife. That's perfect example of, you know, moral principle, to have only one wife. That's very good. But Krishna, he displayed more his divinity, the supreme God, the supreme Lord, by accepting so many souls, give them shelter in his loving embrace. So those Munichari, gopis, they have to be born from the womb of gopis. That's the way to take part in Krishna Lila. Even when devotees achieve perfection, when they die, they don't go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. No. They go to some other material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And they are born there and they become trained by the eternal associates, Nitya Siddhas. They become part of the family of Krishna in that way. Any other question? Yes.
Before my question, I really appreciate, Maharaj, your everything details. Mm. Yes, a lot of time we see it, even Tulsi Pranam, they're on his side, their own guru and Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So, Didi have the, every Didi has a Pranam
mantra. Right. Yes.
So, that Pranam has a lot of power in him.
Yes. No, why there should be anybody disturbed? We're saying it is all right to offer obeisances to Prabhupada and the Guru. And after that, then you offer also obeisances to the names of the deities, you know, Gornitai, Radha Krishna, you offer obeisances. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi. You also say that. We are not saying you don't offer obeisances to the Guru. That's not correct. Should be offered to both. First to the Guru, then Gauranga Nityananda, then Radha Krishna. That's the way, isn't it? But devotee out of habit, or maybe laziness, to say so many mantras, one mantra is enough, you know. Yes. 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 Okay, I will repeat your question so people listening can hear. Well, I mean, when we say with devotee don't want moksha, means impersonal liberation. The question was that when Bhishma Dev was praying to Lord Krishna, he asked for liberation. But what kind of liberation did he ask? He didn't ask, let me merge in the Brahman. He didn't say that. For devotee, liberation means pure devotional service. That's the real liberation for devotee, to be engaged in pure devotional service without any material desires. That's the actual liberation for devotees. Lord Chaitanya is also praying, Ajinanda Tanuja Kinkaram. He's also praying, rescue me from this ocean of repeated birth and death. But he's asking for eternal service, not impersonal moksha. Generally, moksha means impersonal. Yes.
My question has to do with Uddhava returning to Vrindavan and then seeing the residents of Vrindavan suffering, being separated from Krishna.
Yes. Okay.
And Prabhupada said that there was no example in the history of mankind of a mother crying until she went blind out of love for her child.
Yes.
So my question is, how are we supposed to understand and explain that as the goal of Krishna consciousness? In other words, it looks like a state of...
This is a school to learn how to cry all your life. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the school of ISKCON. The crying school. Try to understand is... Yeah. Of course. Why not? We should try to understand. You remind me of one story, a true story. It happened in Vrindavan some few hundred years ago. One One pure devotee, he was serving Krishna there all his life in Vrindavan, and he was crying all the time. And in his old age, he was chanting holy name and crying, crying all the time. So much crying, he became blind. So, and he started to complain to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you are so hard-hearted. You don't want to give me your mercy. And you, Radharani, because of your association with this hard-hearted Krishna, you also became hard-hearted. So Radharani could not tolerate this. So she came, Radharani, as a village girl. Of course, he could not see her anyway. He was blind. And she spoke to him. Why you are speaking like that about them? That is not right. He said, yes, what can I do? I've been crying all my life for their mercy, but they don't want to give me their mercy. And what do you want? What mercy you want? He said, oh, I want to have their darshan. I want to see them. But even if they come to you, you can't see them because you're blind. He said, oh, little girl, you don't understand. If they come and with their lotus hand, they touch my eyes, then I will be able to see. So Radharani asked Krishna, come, let's touch this devotee's eyes. And as soon as they touched his eyes, he could see their beautiful transcendental form. And he was immersed in bliss. He became perfect in his service. So actually, Prabhupada explained that the so-called suffering due to Krishna's separation by the Brajabasis is another type of ecstasy. Difficult to understand for us conditioned soul, because for us crying and suffering is bad, is horrible. We don't want that. But you see sometimes people enjoying some mundane love story that they get separated and they're crying, but they're enjoying that. They feel something, some kind of longing or happiness, you know, that like that. This is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Everything is coming from there. So this love and separation, although may externally look like suffering and crying and going blind, but the ultimate goal, which is to have Krishna's loving embrace, will be achieved. It's not that eternally the gopis will feel Krishna's separation. They will have some meeting after the separation. And that will give all relief. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that this love of Godhead is like drinking hot, very, very hot sugar cane juice. It's so hot, burn your tongue, but it's so sweet you can't stop drinking it. That example is given. So yes, mundane love stories are useless. They don't give real happiness. Because they are temporary stories of conditioned souls with material bodies. But Krishna's loving stories with the gopis are transcendental. It's like iron and gold. Both are metals, but you can't compare the value of gold with iron. The same way, the love of Krishna and the gopis is like gold, and the mundane love of this world is like iron, can't be compared. And this so-called suffering is another type of spiritual enjoyment, because in that intensity of separation, they feel very, very strongly Krishna's presence in the way of remembering him. And of course, remembering Krishna gives happiness, because he's Anandamayo Vyasat. He's the origin of all pleasure. Is the fountainhead of all happiness. So just remembering him, or even his name, a devotee can get happiness. Although externally may look unhappy because he's hankering for Krishna's darshan, presence. But Prabhupada said that one who feels acutely this hankering, this separation from Krishna, it is as good as seeing Krishna. So everything about Krishna, even the suffering of his separation, is completely blissful and auspicious. Because he's the absolute truth. I hope that clarify a little bit. Haribo. All right. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantala Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.